Our next guest is best known as the host of The Daily Show on Comedy Central. But 35-year-old Trevor Noah is also an author who recently adapted his 2016 book, Born a Crime, Stories from a South African Childhood for Young Readers. It's about his upbringing during and just after apartheid with a black mother and a white father. Trevor Noah, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me on.
And I have to say, I was a little nervous as I was reading this and enjoying it in the version for young readers. I thought maybe my aptitude is not as... as it should be. Is there a difference between the original version and this one?
Well, here's the thing. I've changed some of the language and, you know, I've simplified some of the stories, but I didn't try to talk down to younger readers because I didn't like being talked down to when I was young.
I was just talking to a high school teacher in this country about what his students know about 9/11. And he said they know there was a plane, not four. They know the World Trade Center. They know Al-Qaeda, but nothing else until he teaches it to them. Why do you think American kids should know about apartheid and what you talk about in this book?
Well, you know, one thing I enjoyed when I was growing up in South Africa was in our schools, we learned about world history, you know, so we learned about American history. We learned about, you know, the French history. We learned about what happened in Russia. We learned about Europe. We learned about Africa. We learned about South Africa. And so for me, I think learning about history gives you some context. It gives you an idea of what the world was like. It also gives you an idea of where the world has gone to in comparison to the past. And so for me, you know, if you read stories from South Africa, if you read about apartheid, you come to realize that racism or oppression aren't unique ideas to America, first of all. And you also, I think, start to realize that it's an all too common idea, you know, or a common theme that happens all around the world.
Well, and what has your own experience made you realize about the racism in this country? I mean, just in the last few years, we've had Charlottesville, Virginia. We've had the shooting at the black church in Charleston. Even the president calling a black member of Congress low IQ. What do you think about the level of racism in America today?
Well, I think it's unfortunately, you know, part of the fabric of the country. You know, South Africa and America have very similar histories in that fundamentally the beginnings of the countries as we know them came from a place and a time when people had certain views about people of a different skin color. And so that has traveled through time, and that has translated into laws and policies that have affected, you know, black people in America, black people in South Africa. So for me, what's always interesting is seeing what similarities there are, but then also noticing what differences there are. You know, we had the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, and that in many ways quelled any ideas that this never happened or it wasn't as bad as it was laid out to be. And I think that does something for a nation. It puts you in a place where you can't be gaslighted anymore. Whereas in America, it does feel like there's still a conversation about, is there racism, as opposed to how do you begin moving forward as a nation to get rid of the racism that has in many ways defined how people react with one another across racial barriers in the U.S.
Do you think it's gotten worse or better in this country since you've been in the U.S.?
Well, that's a tough question to answer. You know, I think some people will think it's gotten worse. And I'm careful to jump to that assumption. I think we've gotten more access to information. And so, you know, sometimes the curves of facts versus information can go against each other. I definitely think America has gotten better over time. You know, for anybody to say that 2019's racism is as bad as 1960s racism,
right,
I think is being a little disingenuous. I do think, however, social media, you know, camera phones, et cetera, have given us so much more access to these stories. Now, you know, you can watch a video of someone being berated by their boss and their boss is using the N-word in the office.
Or being shot by a police officer too.
Yeah, you'd see an unarmed person being shot by a police officer. You would never see that before. It was a story where, you know, the police could present the facts however they wished, and that would probably be the end of the conversation. So I think we live in a world where now we're getting information on a different scale, and processing that information can often mean that even though the world may have gotten better gradually over time, we're now inundated with information that tells us otherwise.
You talk about how when you were a child, because you were half white and half black, you had a difficult time deciding which group you belonged in. You even moved into different school classes to be with black students because you felt more comfortable there than with the white students. Do you have more clarity now about who you are?
Well, I think as human beings, we're always trying to find out who we are. Sometimes the simplest distinctions to make are those that run along color lines. For myself, it was interesting being in a country where the law defined me as one race. I grew up in a different race, and for so long, people wanted to define me as whatever they wanted to define me as. And mm-hmm. so, you know, I think that clarity for me came from understanding my existence and then looking at the world around me. And I didn't do it in a negative way. It wasn't in protest or anything. It was just me understanding where I belonged and who I was, you know, because in South Africa, many people were faced with a choice. They could choose to aspire to a racial group that we were told was better than maybe the one we were. And so I think it was liberating for myself to realize that although the government had tried to define me as one race, you know, I comfortably identified with and was a black person. And that doesn't seem, you know, it seems like an obvious thing maybe, but when you grew up in South Africa, you realize how complicated it could actually be.
Can you believe that given your upbringing and all the things that you went through that you are now where you are now?
Oh, no, I don't take that for granted ever. But I like to think that I am the product of a world of impossibilities. You know, my mother is where she should have never been. You know, I think my mother made greater leaps than I have ever made. It's just that her leaps were made within her world and so maybe don't seem as grand. But I think, you know, my family, myself, my country, I come from a place where we have achieved the impossible, you know, a bloodless revolution, mm-hmm. a shifting of power from a minority to a majority without there being a mass bloodletting, I think is a really impossible story to tell, one that hasn't really been replicated anywhere else. So, yeah, I think I've come from a world where anything is possible. And so for myself, I never ever thought I'd be here because I didn't even know what here is. But I was lucky enough to grow up in a space where I was always told about what was possible. So, you know, there's a beautiful quote that I read the other day, which was, would you rather know what is real or would you rather know what is possible? Mm-hmm. And I think for me, the latter informed how I lived my life.
As you know, there are a lot of people who actually get their news from the show that you do now, The Daily Show, as they do from a lot of more comedic shows that take on issues in the news. What do you think of what do you think of your responsibility in that sense right now to inform people?
Well, I think I have a responsibility to my audience as much as I have a responsibility to myself. And that's really how I try and create The Daily Show, is I try and be as informed as possible as a human being. And then the show would hopefully be a manifestation of that information.
Well, and do you think the media right now are doing a good job in covering the news today?
Well, I think the media is too broad a term. You know, I think the curse of America is that entertainment and news have bled into each other in such an extreme way that you really can't tar the media with any one brush.
Trevor Noah, this has been an entirely too serious conversation between Trevor Noah and anybody. So just in case of that, I saved this one clip that I do want to play because you're currently touring. You're doing stand-up, and there's a part from your Netflix special that I just have to play for our audience. Here it is.
Every trap song to me sounds like a toddler complaining about life. That's all I hear when I listen to trap songs. Every time a trap song plays on the radio, I think of my little brother. He'll go outside. He'll, like hurt himself. He'll come back crying. And it sounds like every single trap song ever. He'll, like, walk in, like, and I'll be like, yo, Isaac, what happened, buddy? He'll be like,
so I'm just going to bring it right back around as we listen to that, which I love. But I'll bring it right back around to sort of where you start in this book. And you're talking about how you speak all these different languages in South Africa. In your stand-up, how much does language fit into how you view the world and even what you find funny, in that case of trap as a toddler?
Language is completely the prism through which I see my entire life. You know, for me, language is both what separates and brings people together. Language is how we process emotion with other human beings. Language is how we hear and experience emotions and ideas around us in society. And I don't just mean English and French and German. I mean even the language that we use within language. you know, whether it's body language or, you know, whether it's music, or there are so many different languages that we have and possess as human beings that help us connect or help us define ourselves in this reality. And so for me, that's literally everything that is happening to me all the time, is just a language. How do you interpret Trump's language? Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the time people listen to what Trump says, but they don't listen to what he means. And a lot of the time his audience is connecting with what he means, mm-hmm. which is why they don't care about what the media reports on what he says. And so what I'm always trying to do is exist in a space where I connect with the language that people are using, and I try and translate it into a language that I can then translate to somebody else.
Well, I hope that a lot of this country's young children read your book, because I think it just – there are so many lessons in it, and it's really interesting to hear about your upbringing. Trevor Noah.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, it's great talking to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for your time.